Morning, church. My name is Abbe. I came from Ethiopia a month ago. So yeah, it has been a blessing to be with you. I'm married, as you can see on the picture, and I'm married to my wife named Jote, and we have a son named Johan. And it's been 15 years since I came to know the Lord, and it has been a joyful journey. And I've been doing community groups all along, and days after coming to Canada, I was introduced to CIT through a friend, and I was thankful to God and to CIT as well, because I felt at home and not like as a stranger. Yeah, so praise the Lord. Let me go ahead and read. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, "Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road." So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch and a high official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, "Go and join that chariot." When Philip ran up to it, he heard him regarding the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "How can I," he said, "unless someone guides me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearers, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from theirs." The eunuch said to Philip, "I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about, himself or someone else?" Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, there is water. What would keep me from being baptized?" So he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared in Azotus. He was traveling and preaching the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
Thank you so much. Just gonna move this over here. You know, I believe here this morning we have both Philips and eunuchs. And it doesn't matter which group or which person you come under, you just got to know this: God wants to speak to you through this word. And I pray that you would just open up your heart and hear what he has to say to you. Our message title this morning is Responding to God. So when God speaks to us, we should be people who are responding to him. Let me just cue this up in this way. Since we've been in the book of Acts, what we've seen is this: the leaders, the big leaders of the church or the Jesus community, they have been speaking about Jesus to large crowds. And what we have seen is large crowds of people have been giving their lives to Jesus, and they're joining them in the church there in Jerusalem. From this point, at least for the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at three cases of individuals reaching individuals. People reaching people. But what's important as we look at this is to recognize that God is actively working in people's lives. And some of the people that we're going to see over the next couple of weeks, it's kind of unexpected that God would actually reach people like that. So from the one side, God is working in people. We have to recognize that. But the second side is just as important. God is looking for his people, people who know him and who are in relationship with him, to cooperate with him by responding to him. Because as he's working in people, God needs those people to connect with this. And this is what we saw, and we're going to see this morning in this person, Philip and the eunuch. So if I look back on my own life, I think about when I was a teenager, and I think, you know, if somebody met me as a teenager, they would think that guy has no interest in God at all. I was a typical teenager doing the things that teenagers do. And if somebody mentioned God to me, I would ridicule them. A Christian came to me and I would make fun of them. But what you didn't see, if you peel back the layers, is that in my heart, I was really searching for God. And what I want to encourage you this morning is don't be put off by the outward appearance. You don't know the work that God is doing in people's lives. So we're going to look at Philip this morning. We're going to kick it off with Philip and the eunuch. But what's interesting is, Regina, could you bring up the verses for me again? Look at the way that this opens up. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road. So he got up and went. So God is encouraging, prompting is the word I'm going to use this morning, prompting Philip to cooperate with him. And what's really surprising here, as we look at the verses, is get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Let me show you where that is. Here's a map. It was a highway that was heading towards Egypt, but it went through Gaza. But it's not a highway like we have here. It's not the 401 with all the traffic and all the congestion and everything else. This is what that highway would have looked like. So when we read in the book of Acts, it was a deserted place. Do you see why he said it was a deserted place? It is a deserted place. So think about Philip for a second. Philip is hearing from God, go to this road. What would you be thinking if you were Philip? Why? Why would God be asking me to go to that place? I know it's deserted. He knows it's deserted. But let me just add a little bit more to this. If you go back to the verses, Regina, for me for a second. What we don't pick up from the English, most English translations, but if you go to an Amplified translation, you will get this. When it says get up and go south, you could also say get up and go at noon to the road that's going from Jerusalem to Gaza. So think about this. Not only is Philip being asked to go to a deserted place, he's also being asked to go at the hottest time of the day. Who is going to be on that road? Can we go back to that road again? Who's going to be on that road? Absolutely nobody. And so maybe in Philip's mind, he's thinking, this seems ridiculous. You're asking me to go to a deserted place. You're asking me to go at the hottest time of the day. What could you possibly be doing? Well, why would you be asking me to go to that place? Could be wrong place, wrong time. And maybe you're like me. A lot of times when I get promptings from God, and it doesn't quite line up with the way that I think, I kind of think, well, God, I think you're wrong. And I think I know better than you. Have you been there? Trust God. When he's moving in you, he's doing it purposefully. It's not just a random, you know, kind of goose chase that you're going on or anything. It's very purposeful. And I wanted to just take a moment just to think about this. What do those promptings that God definitely is doing in our heart, what do they feel like? So the way I'm going to explain it a little bit this morning is this. They're kind of like inner nudges for us to do something. It could be something like this. Call someone. Pick up your phone. Call someone. You might be wondering, why should I call? Don't ask that question. Call someone. The answer will come when they answer the phone. Or it might be, and this happened to me this past week, you're just doing what you normally are doing, and all of a sudden this person comes to your mind, and you're like, I need to pray for this person. Do you know why you should pray for the person? You have no clue. But pray anyway. God is inwardly prompting us, if we're Christians, this is the way that God is operating within us. And I would just wonder, as I look out on the room this morning, can you identify with his promptings like this? Is he doing this in your heart? Call someone, pray for someone, speak to someone. This is the normal for Christians. The Spirit of God is within you, and the Spirit is working to help you to cooperate, you and me, to cooperate with God. And here's my challenge for you as we start this morning. I am going to ask you right now, would you be open to God to hear from him prompting you right now? As we're in his word, I believe in a God who speaks all the time. And as we're in his word, he most definitely is speaking. So whether you are a Philip here this morning, or whether you feel like you're more in the Ethiopian group, God wants to speak to you, and God wants you to respond. So as we look at this, story, let me just do this. This has helped me so much because this is a tough thing that we're talking about this morning from one standpoint. Sometimes when I feel like I know better than God, it's proving that I don't trust God. But again, like I said earlier, I have to know that it's purposeful. So here's what's helped me a lot. I know God's working in me, but it's not until I start communicating with that other person that I realize, oh, God is also working in that person. So when you get these promptings, have that kind of confidence. God is working in me, and God is working in that other person in some way that you just don't know. Let me give you an example of what it looks like. There's a young man who meets here at CIT, and I was talking to him about the Philip and the Ethiopian last weekend, and he said, I got a great testimony for you. So let me read it to you. One Sunday afternoon after church and a delicious homemade meal, my dad had his usual time in prayer. On this particular day, that time ended early. He got himself ready, left the house, and got on a bus. He returned 3 hours later, accompanied by a man, a stranger to us, but someone he had met at a particular church. Later that night, my dad told us what happened. He said, I was praying this afternoon and felt the Lord telling me to go to a particular church. That's why my prayer time was much shorter than usual. I got myself ready and traveled 40 minutes on the bus to that church. When I arrived, I sat in one of the pews without a clue as to why I was there. Then I noticed there was one other man there. He suddenly walked over to me and asked if I had a Bible that he could use. He told me he was from an Islamic background and that he had recently been introduced to the Christian faith after reading a pamphlet he found lying on a road. Since he had no one to help him understand the faith, he walked around and went into the first church that he found, and God, in his wisdom, sent me to that church. How about that? God was not just working in Philip in this way. He's still working in the same way today. So let's go back to the story. So far we've got Philip who has been told, go to this deserted place and go at the hottest time of the day. And we do know this, that Philip went. So if we can go back to the verses, I think it's verse 27, Regina. So now he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man. And what we again miss in the English translation is there's a word of shock here or surprise that's not in the text, in the English text. It says, behold. Like, I didn't see this coming. Surprise, surprise, yes. So, like, this is what's going on here. Philip is being told, go to this deserted place, go at this particular time. He's not expecting really to find anything. And behold, an Ethiopian man was there, a eunuch, a high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. And I just want to spend a little bit of time looking at this Ethiopian man. So here's what we do know about him. He is a high official of the queen of the Ethiopians. This is a powerful man. This is not just some guy. He's a very powerful man. The other thing that we find out about him is that he was in charge of her entire treasury. So he's the treasurer of all of the queen's money. All of her wealth is under his charge. So he's a powerful man. He's a successful man. Then we see that he actually is a wealthy man. And you may wonder, how do we know that he's a wealthy man? We know it because of two things. Number one, he's riding in a chariot. That's not common transportation for just regular folk. That high officials travel in those kind of ways, in the chariots. And the second thing is, he is reading from the book or the scroll of Isaiah, which means that he purchased that scroll. And that's not, you know, again, today we just take these things so lightly. I've got a Bible, who cares? I got my iPhone, and I got so many Bible translations on there, it makes me sick. But it's like, no, this guy has a scroll, and the thing's big. Right, and you gotta unroll it. That would be expensive. So this man is a powerful man, he's a successful man, he's a wealthy man, and he's an educated man. How do we know that? He's reading Greek. He would have picked up the Greek translation of the scroll of Isaiah. And so he's reading it. Greek is not his mother tongue. So this man is a powerful man. He's a successful man, he's a wealthy man, and he's an educated man. But we also find out something else about this man. He's searching for something else. And, you know, we might look at him and say, well, he's got it all together. He had it all. But he knew, in spite of what the outward looked like, there was something missing in his life. There was something missing in his life. And it seems from, and I'll explain this in a second, he's so desperate to get this turned around. Let me tell you how desperate this man is. He traveled 1,600 kilometers to get to Jerusalem. Do you know how far that is? That's from Toronto to Florida. Would you travel that far? That's how far that man traveled. The ache inside of this man. Yeah, I've got all the stuff. I've got all the prestige. I've got it all. And yet, there's an ache inside this man's heart that says, I don't have it all. And it's not like he's trying to add something to what he's got, you know, just to fill out his life. He's saying, this stuff doesn't satisfy me. I need something much more than this. He travels 1,600 kilometers to go to worship God. That's what he really wants. He wants to meet God. And for those of us who have met God already, you know it brings about a wholeness. It brings about another dimension in your life that you didn't know before you met him. And so here is this man, so powerful, so successful, wealthy, educated, and desperate to know God. Well, there's one other thing about this man that we find out. He is called an Ethiopian eunuch. And for those of you who are not familiar with what a eunuch is, it means as a young boy, he would have had his testicles removed. And that was for the purpose of service. This happens in many cultures, many ancient cultures, actually. And so, while to us, we might think, well, what's the big deal with that? It really mattered. Something happened to him. I don't think he put up his hand and said, yes, I would like to go through that procedure. His parents probably realized this is a good path for you. And look, it turned out really, really well. Successful, powerful, all the rest. Something happened to him. It was not his choice at all. So he arrives in Jerusalem, and there he finds something out. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1 tells us this about eunuchs. No man whose testicles have been crushed or removed may enter the Lord's assembly. Think about it. You went 1,600 kilometers one way, right? You got to go all the way home again, right? Here's what we do know. Based on the distance and based on the traveling speed, it was going to take him anywhere from 4 to 5 months to make the journey one way. You're going to spend almost a year traveling to Jerusalem? Come on. You've got to be so desperate that you would do something like that. So he arrives in Jerusalem, and this is what he is faced with. You are not allowed to enter the temple. You can only stay in the outer court. Was it his fault that he couldn't enter? Did he do something that disqualified him from entering? The answer is no. And I would expect that this discouraged him a lot. You might even say he was prevented from going in, from worshiping God. He's got this ache, this longing to be closer to God, this longing to be whole. And he can't enter. And you might say, well, why would God have such a rule or such a word in the Bible? And it's mainly because the nations that surrounded Israel did this to their boys a lot. And God wanted to make it very, very clear. This is not the direction that we want our boys to go in. We don't want our parents doing this to our children at all. And so it's more like a prohibition. Do not do this. And the consequences are, if it's done, you don't get to enter into God's temple. And to a Jew, that is massive. So, but this is the case for this man traveling so far. Then it's time to go home. I would assume that he's traveling home quite disappointed. And isn't it interesting that it's in the state of disappointment that Philip is told, get up and go to the road that is totally deserted at the hottest time of the day? Coincidence? I think not. God is at work. Can you see how God is at work in this Ethiopian man? You can see it, right? Like, God is definitely at work. But God also needs Philip. So we're here this morning either as Ethiopian seeking God, or Philip, we know God, and God is saying, I'm so glad you know me, but I got something for you to do. I need you to cooperate with me to reach people who need me. So let's come back to the story again. The Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot. Go and join that chariot. Now, again, you might think, what's the big deal? It's just a chariot. Again, we often read these stories and we are oblivious to what's really, really going on. Okay. This man is powerful, successful, wealthy, educated. And I know, you know, in our society here, it's kind of like, okay, it doesn't matter. I know a lot of people like that. I could have conversations with them all the time. Not in first century. It's not going to happen. Okay, let me try to make it easier for you. Most of you are probably familiar with a mall that's across the street here, right? Called Bayview Village Mall. Have you ever been there? If you haven't, go there. You'll realize, keep your hand close to your back pocket where your wallet is, or keep your purse shut, because they're very expensive stores over there. Am I right? Yeah, most of us who go there for Loblaws. Or the Gap when it's on sale. Right? Friends and family, that's what we're there for. We are not going there for Pusateri's grocery store, which charges you like $10 for a bunch of grapes or something like that. Okay, so sorry. It's the neighborhood I live in, sorry. This is very interesting. You ever seen the cars that park over there? If you go there and there's a Porsche, are you surprised? Are you surprised if there's a BMW? BMW is like Toyota, right? It's like whatever. It's like a Corolla in this neighborhood. Think about it. Okay. I've been over there, and right outside, Rolls Royce. You ever seen a Rolls Royce over there? Amazing. Like, look at the hood ornament. It's just like, this is way out of my league. Okay. Let's say Ian is walking over to Loblaws. I have my grocery bags with me, and I've got my grocery list. I know what I need. And then I'm walking up to just past Pusateri's, and sure enough, there's a Rolls Royce, and there's a guy sitting in his car. And God says, go speak to that guy. Okay, what do you think is going on in my mind? Are you kidding? That's a Rolls Royce. And he's not the chauffeur. And you can see it's his, the way he's dressed. But here's the truth of the story. I've got no clue what that man's been going through. I don't know the phone call he just received. I don't know what happened just before he left his house. And yet, God may be prompting me, inwardly urging me, nudging me, saying, go talk to him. You see what is going on? We need boldness to do this. It's not like, oh, yeah, yeah, no problem. I'll just follow God wherever he asks me to go. And that might be a good heart, but when you get put in a situation like Philip was put in, it's like, yeah, go talk to that really, really high official in a chariot. Because it made it a whole lot easier for Philip, because the guy's reading the Bible. Come on. Like, you know, if I was walking and the guy was in the in his Rolls Royce and he had his New Testament open, I'd be like, all right, I'm going. I don't need any more indicators. Yes, yes, yes. Right? We need boldness. When we get those inward promptings from God, just be bold. And you've got to get beyond the intimidating thoughts. How many of you, when God has asked you to do something, said in your mind, I'm not the right person? Yeah? Anybody done that? Anybody said, ooh, God, this is something for you. I don't know my Bible well enough. Been there? Right? It's not just the outward stuff that is troubling us. It's the inward stuff that's troubling us too. It's like, I can't handle this. But I love the fact. Can we go back to the verses, Regina? Look at the way that the this Ethiopian is. He's not this scary guy. I love the fact that this man, with all of his disappointment and everything else, if it was me, I'll tell you, my chariot would be riding a lot faster. It would be trying to get back to Ethiopia as fast as I can because I'm so disappointed. But he's not. He's reading God's word. This man, in spite of all of the prevention, no, you can't come in. With all the disappointment, all the humiliation he would have gone through, he's still seeking God. Isn't that amazing? So humble, so ready. If it were me, I'd be bitter. Anybody else? I mean, come on. Who's got 4 to 5 months? One way. Bitterness probably would definitely have been in my heart. And this man, not so much. And what he was reading was really interesting. Keep it there, Regina. Let me just read these for you. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. He's reading from Isaiah 53. And as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. I believe this Ethiopian man completely identified with those words. I was just humiliated. Injustice was done to me when I was a little boy. Injustice was done to me when I went to Jerusalem. And they prevented me from going to get what I came to get. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. I believe he totally gets it. And he asks Philip, who is this man talking about? Is he talking about his own experience? Because if he is, that really matches with my experience. Or is he talking about somebody else? And of course, what we see Philip doing here is from that scripture, he begins to tell him about Jesus. Jesus, who was humiliated, who did experience injustice, who was led to slaughter without opening his mouth. He tells him about Jesus. There was one who was unjustly humiliated, who was completely innocent. Something was done to Jesus that he didn't deserve. But the beautiful thing about the death that Jesus went through is it opened up access to God for everyone. Even eunuchs. Now, we know that the eunuch was in Isaiah 53. Eventually, he's going to get to Isaiah 56. We don't know if Philip actually took him there or not, but look at the verses in Isaiah 56. It says, "For the Lord says, for the eunuchs who choose what pleases me and hold firmly to my covenant, I will give them in my house and within my walls." That's his temple, right? A memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. What will eunuchs never have? Sons and daughters. But God's word says, I will take care of the eunuchs. I will give them more than they could get by their natural strength. I will give them a memorial that is better. I will give them an everlasting name that will never be cut off. God promised that a day was coming when eunuchs would have full access to God. We know he didn't get that access to God in Jerusalem, but through Philip, the eunuch found that access to God in who? Jesus. Jesus is our access to God. All the barriers that our society has thrown up, all the expectations that our society has upon us, all the weight that you and I are under, and we feel like I can't get to Jesus, All of that was taken care of by Jesus on his cross. And if you have a barrier, just know this. God has removed that barrier in Jesus. No sin is too great. We sang the song, right? What's he going to do if there's a mountain in the way? He's going to climb it. What happens if there's a lie that's keeping you down? What's going to happen if there's a lie that has so taken a grip on you that you feel you're not qualified to come to God? What is he going to do with that lie? Tear it down. Are there lies in your heart, in your mind, that need to be torn down, right? Only through Jesus can that happen. Then we see the last part of this story is this. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. Obviously, this is what we have to conclude, is that Philip, in his telling this Ethiopian man all about the good news, he had to mention baptism. And for those of you who are not familiar with baptism, it is a going into water and declaring, I unite myself with Jesus in all that he went through, and I am coming out to live a brand new life. And so as they were traveling along, the eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? Or other translations say, what prevents me? I was prevented in Jerusalem. Are you telling me, Philip, are you telling me nothing? Nothing is preventing me from having access to God? And Philip's answer is?
Yes.
That's what I'm telling you. Yes. I'm telling you there is no barrier, there is no mountain, there is nothing that can stop you from coming to God. And immediately he ordered the chariot to stop. They went down into the water. He got baptized. And then this crazy thing happens. Philip just disappears. We're not going to talk about that. The Spirit is incredible. Who knows what's happening? But that is what happens. And I believe there may be some here this morning. You have believed. But something is preventing you from being baptized, taking that step with God. Can I encourage you to hear God's voice this morning? Hear his word to you. Believe and be baptized. When an opportunity comes for you to be baptized, take it. Don't tell yourself, I need to learn more. I need to grow more. Just take that opportunity. At the beginning of this message, I asked you a question. Would you pay attention, please, to the promptings of God while we went through the word? And I wonder, is there someone who God has shown you this morning who is the Ethiopian for you? Is there someone you should be calling? Someone you should be visiting? Someone you should be praying for? Just respond to God. Don't disqualify yourself. Trust that he is not only working in you, he is working in them, and he wants to give them access to him. We're going to have communion at this point in time.